In a world of rulers, grids, and pixels where creativity knows no bounds, we champion the rebels, the dreamers, and the innovators, the ones who didn't wait for permission but forged their own path in design. I'm Joanna, your fellow self-taught designer and founder of Savvy Chic Design, and this is the Self-Taught Designer Podcast. Dive with us into the story of audacity, grit, and imagination from designers who made it on their own terms. So grab your tools, ignite that spark, and let's dive into the world where every line, curve, and pixel tells a story. Hey, Allie, welcome to our show. Thank you so much for joining me in today's episode.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to talk about this amazing topic because when we are starting in our journey in business, like really managing the business side and personal side can really be overwhelming. But tell us a little bit about your background as a professional who focuses now in helping creatives when it comes to bookkeeping and all of the things that you do.
Yeah, so I did corporate bookkeeping for about 13 years. And then in 2020, the world changed for everybody. And I also had some kind of traumatic things in my life. My younger sister passed away really suddenly. And I'm like, why am I like doing this corporate thing like away from my kids? And I don't know. So I just decided to start a business. Literally, it happened just like that. And so I started just doing freelance bookkeeping. And then I left my corporate job and did bookkeeping full time. And at first I had all different types of clients from all different industries. And I found myself like working with some creatives, some different like designers. And I'm like, okay, number one, I love these people. I love this personality. Like I vibe so well with it. And number two, I can really help them because I realized the creative service providers, especially, they didn't understand how to make their services profitable. Like they're really talented at what they do, but most of us don't go in business like with the financial sense. Just that's not part of the training when we start, especially as a creative, like that's not really in our skill set usually. And so I realized I could make like a big difference just helping them understand how to make sure they were profitable. So I just shifted into that and I've loved it ever since.
That is awesome. So in your corporate world, it was really in the accounting space, all of these things, and you have that one. And I think that's where everyone is, right? The pandemic has really changed a lot of our direction. It has really helped us. And really just, of course, going into that main focus as well as in terms of focusing with creatives, because that is so true. Like a lot of the creatives that I know are so focused on the design. Either we hate the math, like that is something like, okay, let me just color all of these things, but not the numbers. So it can really be challenging as well. One of the key things that you really specialize is the profitability. And you've talked about it like in terms of pricing. When I first started, it was really just like looking online and seeing what other designers are charging this one. And then without considering the other factors that you need to incorporate into your pricing. And a lot of the clients as well seem not to understand why we charge like $100 per hour, right? Because there's a lot of other things that compose to a regular maybe employee or regular job that is like 15 or 10 hours or some sort of that kind of level, right? So tell us a little bit about like the biggest things that really challenges a creative when it comes to pricing.
I think a lot of us come from different corporate or hourly type jobs in our past before we start our business. So the idea of charging $100 an hour sounds crazy because we're like, I would never make $100 an hour at a job outside my house. And so that's like a lot of it's mindset, but also I don't think we understand we're not keeping $100 in our pocket as a business owner. We have when I went to my corporate job, nobody expected me to buy my own office supplies. Nobody expected me to upgrade my computer or pay for my software. Now that's on you. So you have these overhead expenses just to keep your business running, all your softwares. If you have a team, if you have a VA, admin help, all of those things, like we're paying for those now. Those are coming out of our $100 an hour. And not only that, we're responsible for things in the future. like paying our taxes every year. At a corporate job, they're withholding that for us, and we may owe a little bit, but they're withholding most of that. And also, they're withholding our part and paying in for us. And your employer pays half of your payroll taxes. Like, it's, most people don't know that's even going on behind the scenes in their W-2 at their corporate job. Now you're responsible for all of that. So most people, the first year they really start making money in their business, they are shocked when they do their taxes. Like, just, it's terrifying. And they're like, how am I going to pay this? That's mostly when people come to me. They're like, oh my gosh, I did not know what I was doing. I'm in trouble. So yeah. I just think we're not, charging that money sounds so scary. And it sounds like, oh my God, I'm going to be rich. Like, I've never made that kind of money before, but you're not keeping all that in your pocket. And so I think one of the best things you can do really as a business owner is to understand what the, all those background costs are, so that when you give that price to somebody, you have confidence when you say it, because I'm not just like price gouging someone. Like, I think we feel that way at first. It's very scary. So I just think it's not understanding when we go into it, all of the associated costs.
I agree. Cause especially right, when you're new in business, trying to like, okay, I've never priced it. I've seen people price it. And we just, indeed, that's mindset, because that's of the key things also I did in the beginning, just mindset and positioning and value. And even in this stage, like in the business, sometimes it's just so hard. People will haggle into that price. But then I really understand that this amount covers X, Y, and Z, overhead costs, operation costs, taxes. And then there was even a time, Allie, like here in Kentucky, for 2023, we had the sales tax incorporated in our industry. And some of the states doesn't have that one. And I had to understand my mindset and saying, hey, this is not mine. It's the government. It's Miss Uncle Sam here in Kentucky is asking for it. So whatever my price, I'm not, because I was like trying to like, if this is X amount included in the X amount already. I said, no, I've already calculated that it would be on top of this one because I can't, right? So all of these things. And like, what is the beauty as well of identifying, as you mentioned, like the cost, the all of this overhead, what is the beauty that you've noticed as well that when it comes to knowing this one, how does it help a creative kind of run their business moving forward?
I think it really, number one, when you tell someone that price, if they try to haggle or negotiate, if you know a bottom number that if I price below this, I'm literally not going to make any money. I see this happen all the time. They have, people have certain packages or offers or whatever that they're in the hole. Like, they're literally paying that client to be their client, because by the time they're covering their overhead and all of that, they're literally losing money and they have no idea. So when you can point that out and you can understand at this point, I need this much just to break even. That can help you when people are haggling. You're like, no, I'm not working for free. So just know it gives you that, but also it helps you figure out ways to be more profitable. I think a lot of times I'm guilty of this. And I think everyone in the creative spaces, we sign up for like trials of software and we're going to try out this and we're going to try out that. And pretty soon we're paying for tons of stuff that we're not even using. So I think if we are like overviewing that, we can realize that I can get rid of some of these things. Some of these things do the same thing. And that, of course, helps us be more profitable. That keeps more money in our pocket. And also it helps us realize when, I know we're all going through this right now, everything is going up. Everything is more expensive. Every tool we're using costs more. It costs more to pay our team. So when we realize things are shifting up, we know, okay, I need to do something different with pricing. I need to make changes somewhere. So you can make those ahead of the curve before it's like, oh crap, I'm in trouble. What am I going to do now? So when you can start like on a profitable foundation, you can only go up from there. And I think sometimes we start off so low and it's hard to come up from that, especially when we've got existing clients at these really low prices. So when you can start off profitable in the beginning, and I know in the beginning, we're all trying to get clients. We're all trying to just get ourselves out there, and that's great. But at some point, especially as you grow a little bit, You haven't taken into consideration scaling your business. Unless you want to stay at that size forever, that's fine. But if we can start off on like a profitable foot, it makes your business so much easier and prevents burnout and overwhelm and all of that stuff that comes with the longer you're in business.
I so agree with you, like starting off on the very cheapest rate, because that's what you see, right? As an entry level, it's that imposter syndrome, especially with our audience who are self-taught designers and thinking, oh, I'm just using Canva. I'm not like other, you know, the fancy the tools that they use. And I do believe that it is indeed correct. Like, it's hard to increase the rate of a lower client because they are already used to it. And yes. I still had that challenge as well at times, that like, oh no, like we've been like 3 years and you're still in the same rate. And then when I sent out the email of the increase, then they decided to say, no, sorry, I'll just cancel this because of X, Y, and Z reason, which is okay, right? So it just leaves more room for the next client who is willing to pay our current rate as well. So now, one of the key things that I always have personally when I was trying to understand my numbers and seeing, hey, I need to make sure that I CYA, is that it? Like cover your ass kind of a thing when it comes to our numbers, right? And our accounting is finding the right fit for the business. Because I gotta say, like when we show up, especially with our times, we market in social media, we have, hey, this is what we're doing. We have amazing photo shoots that kind of represents that we are doing good. But then behind the curtains at time, we have those challenges like, oh my gosh, I'm not profitable. I'm losing money in this business. And now when I'm in the stage, like I need to have somebody to look into it to help me out, we are ashamed because, oh, they might say something else. So that is like the fear. So my question is, how can one find a right fit for their business when it comes to either a bookkeeper or an accounting? Like, what are some of the tips that you think? Or have you noticed as well that some people come in like with a, you know what, I'm afraid of giving you like the numbers, but here it is, so help me out, right?
Yes. And I think that that is most people that come in, especially newer business owners. They're ashamed. They think someone's going to tell me this is terrible and it's something they don't know a lot about. So they feel like they're going into it blind. Like it is very scary. But I think the nice thing is, especially that it's changed and so much is virtual. You don't have to go to the tax accountant that's just right in your town anymore, where that used to be the norm. So usually that would be like an old guy and you'd have to go sit in his office and the whole thing. So everything is so virtual now that you can find somebody online, it's states and states away that you feel comfortable with. And I think it is scary, but I think most, especially bookkeepers, and your bookkeeper can help recommend a tax preparer, or they may even do taxes themselves. They can help you find somebody that you're comfortable with. So if you can find a bookkeeper that you are comfortable with, it's not as scary as it seems. And everyone comes, I don't have real books. Like I have QuickBooks, but I've never even done anything with them. They're so messy and they're so ashamed. And bookkeepers are like, we don't care. That's what we do. Let us clean it up. Let us fix it and then help you understand the numbers. And I try to look at it because I love the creative space, but I'm not creative myself. I want to be so bad. I love beautifully designed things. I love looking at color palettes and like all of this. I love it, but I'm not good at it. I think I can do it. I'll tell myself, I'll just get in Canva and just make this graphic real quick. And then 2 hours later, I'm like, this looks horrific. I hate it. And I just wasted 2 hours. Just pay a professional to do this. So I try to remind myself that's something that's intimidating for me. So there, we all have areas of business that we don't do great in. So I'm very much the mindset, give it to somebody else, even though it's a little scary. And yeah, I think it's very scary, but I think once you find somebody you're comfortable with, you'll be so glad you did it. And that is a big like burden that's not on your shoulders anymore. When you have like control of the numbers, you're prepared for tax time. It's such a burden that we carry, and
that's so true.
Rid of that.
just get rid of that one and kind of feel like, hey, I can hand this over and find. And yeah. I think that's it. Like being able to look around and see who would be the right fit. Because for me, it took me some time because I started doing like profit first. And it's the same thing. I don't want to do a little bit local to me because like, I'm going to see them like every time. And then, oh no, she's so up there and then her numbers is not like that fear, right? And oh, okay. And then took some time to really interview and see who the right fit. Now, you did mention a certain thing there because like me, right? Accounting is accounting, but then there's bookkeeping, there's accountant, there's tax preparer, there's all of this level of things, right? And sometimes where should I start? So tell me a little bit. So there are bookkeepers who does offer the accounting, CPA top, and like tax preparer. Tell us a little bit about this difference or like this service that they offer based on their expertise.
Everyone, just like in the creative space, everyone has their specialty and does something a little bit different. There are a lot of like agencies that they will cover all of your accounting for you. So you just hand it off and it's done. There are some bookkeepers that all they do is your bookkeeping. And then at tax time, you'll use a tax preparer who typically is an accountant or a CPA or whatever. And then they will handle the tax prep. And usually your bookkeeper and your tax preparer will coordinate with each other. And I think a lot of times we know the term CPA. So like we go to a CPA to get our taxes done because we know we have to do that. And then when you get there, they're like, okay, we need your business numbers. And then you're like, okay, what do I even give you? and so a lot of times I find where a lot of people do is they will overpay taxes because they go and they don't go in with any type of real bookkeeping. So they hand over their revenue numbers and they hand over like a few expenses, but we're not really sure. Does this classify? Does this not? And there's expenses that we don't even know that they can be a business expense. We miss out on all those deductions. And a lot of tax preparers, if that's all they're doing is your taxes, they're not going to check with you. If you're just paying for like tax prep, they're not going to say, okay, do you have this expense? Is it possible that you have this one? And they're not. They're going to just take the numbers that you handed them, fill out your form and go. So I think a lot of times we're so scared of underpaying our taxes and getting in tax trouble that we end up overpaying. So I think this is where it is helpful to, because most people think, oh, I can do my own bookkeeping. I'll keep track of my expenses. Fine. But a lot of times we don't even know what qualifies as a tax deduction. And we don't have somebody helping us with that. So once tax time comes, your tax preparer, they're already exhausted. They're stressed. It's tax season. They're just throwing those numbers together based on what you gave them. So I think working with a bookkeeper throughout the year, they can help you keep up with things throughout the year. So at tax time, you're cleaned up, you're ready to go, and you do have all of those numbers ready for the tax preparer. And again, some agencies will even do that for you. Like they'll handle your bookkeeping and then they'll handle your tax prep. So it's just a matter of finding what you look for. So many people are like, I'll just have my CPA and I'll handle my own bookkeeping. But you're probably paying more in taxes if you're doing that.
Yes, that's so true, because especially understanding it, because I have been doing our bookkeepings from, I think, the first years of the business. And here's just the thing from my end, right? Because so when I started handovering, I just felt like I got lost of the numbers, because right? Because as a business owner, every month at beginning of first Saturday of the month, I sit down, look it up, and then, okay, categorize it and everything. And then in the next month, all of these things, there was just like, oh, I love handing it over. But there was also like, oh, where's my, that, maybe that control again, just scary as well. But then I just have to like, I don't know if it's like a double work. Like I still do end up, let's do the in-house like bookkeeping. And then our accountant is still like bookkeeping, doing the bookkeeping and everything. And then all of the rest of the accounting process, because we do the quarterly, the sales tax, just to make sure, okay, whatever it is, right? So, but let me just ask you as well, is there a stage of the business that they can now, like in terms of amount, right? Again, just for all of those listening, right? This is just scenario, no advice or anything that is legally binding or anything. This is just a conversation for us to know as well. But I just want to know, is there like a better way to start off, like handing off your bookkeeping or do it your own, like a certain amount? Is there such a thing?
I don't necessarily know that it's a certain amount. If you have anything complex, please use a bookkeeper for sure. In the beginning, I know everyone's, oh my gosh, you need accounting software. You need to use QuickBooks. But I don't know that I agree with that. They market QuickBooks. Oh, it's so simple. Anybody can do it. That is not true. There is a learning curve. And I think a lot of times people like, okay, I need QuickBooks. I have to have it. Like, I'm a business owner. I have to have this. So they sign up for QuickBooks, and like figuring out how to use it, it becomes overwhelming. Honestly, in the beginning, if people are going to DIY, especially when you're like just starting out, just use like a spreadsheet, really. Like, just keep track of, especially the number one thing you can do from day one is please get a separate business account. If you're mixing business and personal, when tax time comes, you are going to have such a mess.
I
trying
agree.
To find it all, you're going to have to go back. Okay, what did I buy? What did I pay for? You're going to make it so hard on yourself. So if you have everything like on a separate checking account, and or if you use a credit card, a separate business card, you've already made your life so much easier.
That is so true. Yeah, because I think when I was like combining it with personal account, and I was just like, can I go get my nails done? Is this my money or is this the business money? Okay, never mind. But then when I started to, it's so funny because right now I have the money in and a business account, and then I have another in for expense taxes, that mindset. For those of you who are familiar with Profit First, that kind of just helped me out as well. And then now I know that every time, like, oh, okay, this is really business money or where it goes. And it was so easier for my accountant to know, like, anything for this actually goes to the business. So it really was a core discipline. But sometimes it's just, oh, this is so overwhelming, but this is overwhelming. So that is a very good tip as well to really take note. And yeah, I still use spreadsheet. Like, I still use spreadsheet. It's just so easier. Google Sheet is there. Just there's formula, right, to go profit and expense and everything. And that is so true that you've mentioned also, that there are things that I didn't know that I can expense as a business. And I think that's where you really can categorize it. It can really just be overwhelming. Now, you've mentioned about QuickBooks. Is QuickBooks the number one tool that you use for the bookkeeping?
I actually prefer Xero. And that when people, now if people already have everything set up in QuickBooks, that's fine. I will take over their QuickBooks and we'll go from there. But a lot of people come to me and they don't even have any software. And in that case, I use Xero. I find, and really the reason I prefer Xero is if there is a problem, I can talk to a person that knows the software and they can help me fix it. In QuickBooks, I'm going to spend hours on the phone. And a lot of times I know more than they do about the software. So it really is just a customer service thing. So I personally prefer Xero just for that reason alone. But QuickBooks is definitely the most popular, and there's nothing wrong with it. They're very, like, the software is pretty much comparable.
Yeah.
Which kind of, speaking of the customer service, that brings me to like another, just a thought that came in my head. I think when we price our services, we do try to like price ourselves very low to feel like we're being competitive, and to feel like, oh, we're giving our clients such a good value. Like, we're giving them this great work and we're doing it for so cheap. Like, it's so, we're helping them by charging them less. That's a lot of our mindsets, but we're not. When you can charge appropriately, like, you can give that customer service. If you are undercharging, now you need to go like hustle. You need to go do more marketing. You need to go be finding more clients. You've got to take on more and more just to keep that revenue coming in to pay your bills and keep your family fed. So now you've got so many clients, you're overwhelmed, you're exhausted, and somewhere is going to drop the ball.
Yes.
And usually that's going to be customer service. But if you're charging, you can give that value. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a huge mindset thing, that we think that giving big discounts is good customer service, and it's the opposite. And people will pay you more because they value that customer service. And I know, like, in business, we've all worked with people that it's terrible customer service. And I'm so happy personally to pay somebody more when I know they're going to answer my emails. And so I think customer service, and that's a perfect example. Like, I'm willing to use one software or the other just because customer service, like, that's the only difference.
That is so true. Yeah. Like, for example, our platform, Kajabi in particular, right? It's the highest platform for e-learning among all the other. But because of the community, the service, the chat, it just makes it easier and more intuitive. So it's really a decision of being able to reach out and have something or someone to help you out. And that also, that is really such a good reminder for you, because especially nowadays, I don't know if you've seen a creative pattern that there has been a slow in projects in the creative space. There are still some, of course, right? Still do. They have their clients, X, Y, and Z. But I've noticed in communities that I'm part of the creative space, contracts are starting to get longer turnaround. Clients are asking more contractors to bid on the project that they want. So now it's starting to be a price war for us, right? Of course, as business owner, creative, we then look into, okay, I'll lower my price in order just to get the project and get the money flowing in. But then there's also that's where the profitable bookkeeping and pricing comes in, Ali, because when you understand that, okay, we are at, for example, $3,500, let me lower it maybe, for example, $1,000 more. So that's $2,500, and then do we have room space for profit still? Because I do a principle of 30% in our pricing. That's still minus 30% profit, 38% tax, income tax, whatever that is. Then maybe what? Overhead operation costs. What? How many is that already, right? That's 60, right? And then you have 20. You have maybe 20 to 40% of other costs in a project. So that alone is really our pricing point, right? But sometimes it can really be hard when it comes to pricing. So I think understanding indeed your profit or your numbers can really be helpful as well. Now, I know
what personally is for every client, for all of my creative service providers, I make a spreadsheet and it's customized just to them. And we break down like their most common offers, whether they do website designs or whatever it may be. So number one, we have their overhead. This is what it costs just to run your business, to keep your doors open. And that's like your base number. And then we figure, okay, when you do this specific project, you use this specific contractors. So let's account for that for this project. Of course, you have some contractors that you're going to use just to keep the business running. And that's part of your overhead. But say when you take on this size of a project, you need this type of help. So let's factor that in. Are there any other costs associated with you giving this service? Let's track those. So now we know, okay, for me to do this website design, it costs me X numbers just to deliver the website to the client. So now once we understand that, sorry, my cats, they love to be involved in videos. I don't know what it is. And so once you know that base number, this is what it's going to cost me to design this website and get it over to my client. So I can't go below that. I can negotiate and try to how much you can discount, how much you can leeway you have in your proposals. When you know, if I go below this, I'm literally paying this client to let me design a website for them. So I think once you know that base, I am so sorry. These cats are just...
So cute. They're so cute. So how many cats do you have?
I have 4.
Oh my gosh. So actually, before I came to the US, I actually have a cat. His name was Pee Boo, and I had him adopted before I leave. So he's so cute. I like cats.
I love cats. Like, I am a cat person.
But yeah, so as you were saying, yeah, those base prices really makes you work, because that's also me. If they tell me like, oh, that's too expensive, what is your budget? And then we remove a certain element of the project, or we offer a longer timeline because I can exhaust that certain things. And for me, even on a mindset of money, I just put my starting at in my website, because those are all calculated. Those are not like pick in the tree and put it there, right? Those are like these are the starting point to work and accomplish this project. And it's really just really helpful as well to really just work with clients who understand the value. But of course, sometimes at harder times, promo, let's see, maybe not promo, maybe let's work on a better payment terms or maybe something else we can remove in that certain project. So that is really just some of the common things that we need. Now, I know it's already as of this recording, it is November. So tax season is coming in, the most dreaded point. I have a question though. Do your clients still keep receipts? Do they still like hand over receipts to you? Okay. Or because, yeah.
Per the IRS, we are supposed to have a receipt for everything. But it's the real world. So I think as long as you are just like throwing them in a Google Drive. If most of our receipts, a lot of them are emailed to us now. We get a receipt emailed for all of our softwares and all that. Just send it over to a Google Drive. You have it if you ever need it. I probably am not supposed to say that as like an accounting professional. We should have a receipt stapled on to everything, but it's real life. As long as we've got it saved somewhere,
good. The good thing about it is that when, so all the software, because it's all online subscription, right? So I can always go back and through my account and pull up all the receipts. But I've noted, but when I really do either gas or I'm at Walmart because I need a office supply or I need in Target, that's the time that I take a picture and just put it in the drive. Those like those really things that are needed for a trail that I can no longer find. You know what I mean? Okay. Yeah. But the rest of our expense are now digital. So that's why I really, because I was like thinking, I have all my receipts and everything.
Yeah. Just snap a picture and like zero. QuickBooks has their own like receipt capture, but it can be clunky. I feel like.
You know what? I haven't even used it because I tried the app. You know how apps are. Everything is app. Yeah. I don't know how to. I even forget to bring in my mileage on those app, right? But anyway, going back. So I do the drive, like picture and then just the Google Drive because we have a shared drive with our accountant. So just help out. And okay, this works.
Yep, that's perfect. Xero integrates with something called HubDoc. And then HubDoc works the same way as like a Google Drive. So whether you're using either QuickBooks Receipt Capture or Xero's HubDoc or just a Google Drive, as long as you're just sending them there and you have them, I call that good.
Yes, I call that a win, right? I call that a win. But yeah, so like for 2024, I'm still actually thinking of, because again, I had that feeling that I'm the hold of the numbers. I still want to do the manually, whether I'm going to do an in-house bookkeeping and then just do the tax quarterly, you know, the taxes for the CPA and everything. Yeah. But still, like in the end of the day, I feel like for the amount and for the tracking, you know what I mean? All I have to do is, what's this one? What's our tax for this quarter? Like, can I go ahead and links are there? Like, pay this. The only thing I do is write the check or pay the payment, right? And everything is good. So I'm like, I think we're going to stick with our amazing bookkeeping and also accountant. Just there's just an aspect of that in the business. So it's really hard. It's such a big decision for sure to do that. Now, do you still do bookkeeping for clients or do you like tell us a little bit about more of the services that you offer now for your clients, especially for the creatives?
I do, of course, monthly bookkeeping. It's where I handle everything for you. It's all taken care of. All the QuickBooks and all that fun stuff is off your plate. And so for those, I do all the bookkeeping. And then each month you will get your reports, which I know to a lot of us don't mean anything. Like we can look at a profit and loss and we're like, okay, cool. Awesome. So I make a Loom video and just explain to you, these are what these numbers mean. This is what all the things, here's anything that's different. Here's anything that's out of character or anything like that. And I review it. And then we try to meet face to face, like on Zoom quarterly, just so you have time to like answer questions. And it's not like a scary meeting. It's more like super casual, like, we're going to spend more time like talking and brainstorming than like me bossing you around about numbers. That is not my vibe. That is not what I do. So anyway, we try to meet quarterly, and that quarter that falls with your quarterly taxes, of course. So that way you're prepared for that. We can walk through that together. And monthly bookkeeping is the main thing. And with every new client that comes on, like I said, I make a spreadsheet and we break down your packages, your offers, so that when you're sending out proposals, you can look back at that spreadsheet and remember, I can't go below this price.
Yes.
Or if I'm going to add this service, I need to up it this much. So, and those are all customized because every creative has a different process. Mm-hmm. We all use different systems. We all have different offers that we all include different things. So everyone's is totally customized. So we meet up and talk over your offers, talk over how you do things. And then once we have your numbers with like solid data of your overhead and if you have a team or anything like that, then we include that in the spreadsheet and we can redo that at any time. Sometimes someone will come to me and they'll think, okay, I want to revamp my packages. Can you help me with that? So we sit down and make a time to do that together. And so I charge like a flat monthly rate and all that's included. So if you come to me and you're like, I'm about to send out a really big proposal, can you help me make sure I'm pricing it appropriately? I'm like, let's do it. Send me the data and I will give you like a high and a low. I will tell you what you cannot go below to do this. And I will tell you what part you're going to keep in your pocket. If you're charging this client X number of dollars, you're going to keep Y dollars in your pocket based on your numbers, based on averages. And so I also do tax prep, but I only do that for my clients. I don't take outside people. So I have their books. I know that they're accurate. I know that I'm doing the best job I can for them. And it lets me be able to take that time and space to talk to them about deductions and other things that they might be able to do.
Yeah.
But the profitability, like calculating and stuff, that is what I love. Like that is my favorite part.
Yes. Hey, that's that ought to be, you ought to be the creative's best friend because profitability is what we need and making sure that we can keep doing the creative stuff because we can do in the rabbit hole of doing things, right? And then is this income generating or is this just like a hobby now that I'm trying to build, right? And it's really just the reality of things, especially for somebody who's coming in into the design world and trying to figure out the business side of things because it is a really different ballgame. Thinking of operation, marketing, sales, pricing, profitability. There's like, sometimes, like I said, what did I get myself into before? I'm just like one department, you know, if you're in a corporate, right? You just think about sales and marketing. You don't think about HR, accounting, all of these things. So having somebody like you, and especially that you also do tax prep, would truly be helpful. And the number one thing is that you focus on creative. So you understand our journey, our crazy world of like up and down at times. So that is just awesome. Yes. And I'm just so excited. For those of you who would love to learn more about Ali, of course, you can check out in the show notes and also in the description, all the links that we're going to share as well to you all if you're listening. And make sure to download this episode and subscribe so that we know that you find this useful. So Ali, before we go as well, any other tips and that you can share to our amazing self-taught designer listeners right now, especially that they might be first year in their business in trying to like, okay, now I'm going to have a tax for my business in the bookkeeping side if they haven't started, because I've seen this one in our group, right? I need a bookkeeping right now because I haven't done that much in the last 10 months, right? Now it's like November and then December. So what are the things that they can, if for somebody who haven't really started Get Organized, and for someone who might be looking for a bookkeeper, tell us a little bit about some advice when it comes to that.
Okay, if you are a first-year designer, number one, first thing right off the bat, separate your personal from your business, have separate accounts, use a spreadsheet, make sure you're keeping track of those expenses, keep track of your revenue, and if you have not started doing anything yet, do it now. Because if you do things before December, you can make changes. If you realize, oh crap, I am going to owe a huge tax, you can mitigate that now. But if you wait till April before your taxes are due, you're just stuck. You're where you're at, and you're just going to have to pay that tax bill and try to do better next year. But if I know it's already November and that's a time crunch, but dealing with it now, you can make some adjustments now that'll help you at tax time. So even though we like to procrastinate and we like to put it off and everyone's all, as long as I get my books done before tax time, I'm good. So you'll see that all the time that like 2 weeks before taxes are due, everyone panics and they're like, I need a bookkeeper. I need a tax person. I need all this. Okay, it's too late to make changes for this year. So just do it now, even though it's scary and we don't want to.
Yes, that's so true. Just do it now. Just act now so that you can get things into perspective and kind of anticipate. Because yeah, sometimes are we prepared to pay that tax? Because no matter what, we owe that one, and we're really have to pay that one. Allie, now I know you do have a profitability workshop. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Periodically I do like a profitability workshop where it's just, we get together and you have some homework about gathering your expenses, all that fun stuff. And then I just walk you through one-on-one how to put that together and how to understand like how to start your base pricing, what it costs you to run your business, and how to be prepared for that tax liability. I think we know we owe taxes, but we're like, how do I know how much? So to help you understand and all the factors that go into your tax liability, because there are so many moving parts, especially when we're small business owners. A lot of us still have a W-2 job, or our spouse does. We have dependents, like all of that factors. And I think a lot of people do think like, I have business taxes. And depending on your entity type, you may have separate business taxes, but especially newer designers, it's going to be like a schedule along with their personal taxes.
Yes.
So it all goes together. So I think we think, oh, okay, I'll just deal with my business taxes when it happens. No, it all goes together. You've got to know all the parts. So,
yes.
So anyway, I do that maybe like quarterly. And I usually will post on like Facebook and Instagram, like when I have one of those workshops coming up, but it's very, very chill. Very group efforty.
Yeah. Yeah. I just mentioned that one because even me, I'd love to have that workshop, right? It kind of just, that's really just awesome to have and to be with like-minded individuals and understand what it is. It would really be something to look forward to. So make sure to just follow as well, Allie, threeoaksfinancialservices.com is her website. And you can also go to her social media and Instagram and also Facebook. You can surely connect with her, especially now. Hopefully we're going to drop this episode and you can all reach out to her before the tax season craziness, because guys, do note, once like tax season is on, my accountant and everything is just so busy that they'll be like running, like they're really fast. So communicate to them as early as now so that you can have all of your ducks in a row by that time, right? Allie, thank you so much for joining me in this podcast. I really appreciate your time. I'm just like, when you said, yep, count me in, and I'm just so happy to have you in today's episode.
Yes, thank you. I've enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you so much, Allie.
Have a good day.
And there we have it, another episode diving deep into the world of self-taught designer. We truly hope these stories and insight continue to inspire and fuel your creative journey. Remember, every professional was once an amateur and every expert began as a beginner. A big thanks to our guests, sponsors, and especially you, our listener. Your support makes every episode a new adventure. If you find value in today's discussion, consider sharing this podcast with a friend, subscribe, or leave us a review. Your feedback that only help us grow, but also reach out more self-taught designers out there. So stay curious, keep pushing those boundaries, and always trust in your unique design journey. I'm Joanna, and this has been the Self-Taught Designer Podcast. See you next time.